time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Gotta clean it up back there, boys. I'm doing a hell of a job. I'm very proud. I'm like a father. I'm very proud of Carter. He's the same age as me, and Ken, who's, I think, is the same age as me, maybe a little bit older. They're doing a hell of a job. Spadoni in for Bonte. I think I'm doing okay alongside Joe Shasky. I'll let the people know. 888-957-9570. You guys let me know. That's the number to call or text. We've been talking a lot of 49ers football. We'll get into some Giants at 8:30 here when Dave Fleming joins us, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. Dave Fleming, obviously, NBC Sports Bay Area, 95.7 The Game Giants Insider, one of the great voices of the San Francisco Giants. Giants got the win yesterday over the Brew Crew, 5-4. Logan Webb doesn't get the win. Camilo Doval actually gets the win. Ryan Walker gets the save. Had a couple of bomb skis throughout it. Chapman, Yaz. So we'll get their thoughts on that. Joe Shasky's, Dave Fleming's, probably around 20 minutes or so leading into the interview, but it's been all football so far, Joe Shasky, and talked a lot of Kyle Shanahan, talked a lot about overrated and underrated for the 49ers, just in general, Josh Allen getting the most votes from NFL players, according to the ESPN poll, the most overrated quarterback in the NFL. Again, 103 anonymous NFL players voting that. Brock Purdy getting voted the most underrated quarterback. So would you rather be overrated or underrated as a player? Careful as you hit. I know where you're gravitating towards, but think about it for a second. Overrated or underrated? How do you want to be viewed?
I don't know. I mean, if you're overrated, there's like this expectation of failure at every single turn, and people like live for it. I feel like I'm already living that existence where
you're in the public eye.
Wrong, the text line and the YouTube chat, there's somebody like, da, 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 like pounding the keyboard waiting to come at you. So, whatever. It doesn't matter. Like, rate me. That's what I would say.
Okay.
Rate me, bro.
All right. Well, I'm just saying, because I think it's interesting to think about, like, players and Q rating and stuff like that and being in the public eye. And there is something to being, you know, the Dak Prescott, who's not a top five quarterback, but you're the Dallas Cowboys and you're going to get crushed because you didn't win a big playoff game here or there. Mm-hmm. And you're always going to be in the public eye. But there is something to that, that you are always going to be talked about. You're going to be remembered. How many people are going to remember Keenan Allen when it's all said and done in his NFL career?
I think we will, because we followed him at Cal. You know, the few of us.
Nationally.
Yeah. Nationally, I don't know, solid player. Right?
He's pretty damn good.
No, he's really pretty good. Damn but I'm good. Saying, like, I think he'll be remembered as a solid player when
that's
push
it.
Comes to shove.
Six-time Pro Bowler, comeback player of the year, was never All-Pro, but he's just been so good for so long. Not 10,000 receiving yards. He's probably going to finish his career with 1,000 receptions. He has 60 receiving touchdowns. But I'd say most people would say he's underrated.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah, I would agree.
I'd rather be the overrated guy.
Well, it's
like,
more lucrative.
More lucrative. I'd rather be, you know, I don't know if you view Dez Bryant better.
If I said Odell Beckham versus Keenan Allen, I do feel like Odell Beckham, even though he's
a fraction
of the player, would draw more eyeballs, clicks, impressions, etc. But I'd rather be Keenan Allen.
You would?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'd rather be Odell. Like, and I'm looking at, and Odell actually, I think, had a better career. His peak was better than Keenan Allen.
Okay, here's
an example. Keenan Allen was never first team or second team All Pro.
I think about this all the time. Like, right? Like, would you rather have Clayton Kershaw's career or Tim Lincecum's? Okay, let me go a step further. Steven Strasburg, who made $300 million.
God, must be nice.
And he has the one World Series win, and he was awesome.
Cut like my pinky toe off for a
sign
meal.
Me up for Lincecum's career. You know what I mean? Like, I'll make less, you know, I'll have a shorter career, but I am forever loved across the world. You say Tim Lincecum, and people are like, oh, you just had to see it.
Yeah.
You're right? Like, that's how we view it. So, yeah, I'd rather have that one.
And I guess if you're doing this exercise, we're just having this fun exercise, because I just thought about it, just being an underrated person or player in any given sport. And there's a lot of benefits between being underrated, because you can just walk around and say, hey, I don't know who that guy is. Hey, maybe he might be famous. If you're overrated, all the eyeballs are on you constantly, 24-7. It's a news cycle, yada, yada, yada. It's just, I don't know. Whatever your cup of tea is, though. If you're just a nonchalant kind of a person, maybe you just don't want that spotlight. Odell likes the spotlight, though. So, you know what?
Yeah, but he's not that good. And we just overrated him just in general. He made the unbelievable catch, and it's kind of distorted everything.
Two-time All-Pro, three-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion. He's had a pretty good career.
No, he has had a good career, but, like, Keenan Allen's a better receiver.
It's actually interesting. Look at their stats. I'm just going to pull this up again real quick. Keenan Allen. I'm looking at just chat Wikipedia, just doing this on the fly. Keenan Allen. 904 receptions, 10,530 receiving yards. Odell Beckham, 566 receptions. He's basically at 8,000 receiving yards now. So he's getting pretty, the production-wise, reception-wise, like I get it. There's a lot of this different stuff, PPI. But receiving touchdowns, 59 for Odell, 59 for Keenan Allen.
His career is much better than I gave it credit for.
Yes.
Much better.
I'm just saying. It just goes back. I just thought it was a fun little exercise.
No,
I was thinking about the Niners.
I was thinking about the Niners. You know, Jerry Jones is all over our television this morning. He's the GM of the Dallas Cowboys. And he basically gave a Lil Wayne, best rapper alive line by saying, nobody living could do the GM job better than him. And I was thinking a lot about overrated, underrated. Adam Peters is somebody, if you say the name, Adam Peters. And I don't know, maybe he helped them with their draft board this year. But if you just look the last couple of years, because he had a lot of influence on their draft board. And you never know who's like that the final say. We'll never really get down to the core of who picked Trey, right? We'll never get to that.
So he was the assistant GM. Prior to that, he was the vice president of player personnel for the San Francisco 49ers. Now the GM for the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, and I look at all the cuts that they made yesterday, the Niners. And you just look back at the last couple of drafts, they don't have a lot to on the roster currently from the last two or three drafts. Now, they didn't have a lot of draft picks. They didn't have a lot of room for those draft picks in prior years. And then you look at this year's draft, and you're like, wow, the returns on this year's draft look so much better than the last couple. Bethune makes the roster. Obviously, Pooney looks like he's going to start. Renardo Green looks like he's going to play a lot for this team. Malik Mustafa looks like he's going to play and be on this team. Kingston is the only guy that got cut from this class. Pearsall and Cowan look like they're going to contribute at some point this year. And I say to myself, maybe we kind of overrated Adam Peters' influence, and maybe it was just time for somebody else to come onto the team. Or maybe they just, as a group, they made some bad decisions, and the philosophy of the organization is moving away. Like Danny Gray, third-round pick, cut. He was a miss. He can't play.
Cameron Latu, same. Gone.
Can't play. You know, and so
there's a lot of those for Shanahan in the third rounds, by the way, in the John Lynch era.
There's a lot of those for every
Ty
team.
Davis Price. No, there is, but specifically with this team, the third round, it was just like, oh, okay.
Well, where they always try to trade back into it. They get a lot of comp picks of guys leaving.
Yes.
So they have a disproportionate amount of third round picks. Pooney Lowe is a third round pick,
correct.
And he looks like a player.
Correct. 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text there. Also, you can hit us up on Twitch, Twitter, or YouTube, all powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing. And shout-out to Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If your call's not good, you're going to need to contact Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain at flowingwater.net. Shout-out to them. Dave Fleming coming up here in about 20 minutes, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. We had Brian Baldinger. And yesterday, Joe Shasky, and here's what Baldy had to say in regards to the biggest threat in the NFC for the 49ers. We had a lot of different takes yesterday. This is part of our questions that we had, and I want to dive into this for a little bit before we pivot to the Giants here. But the biggest threat to the 49ers in the NFC is who, Brian Baldinger?
Probably Detroit. That's just a very talented roster. They got very close last year, obviously up 17 in the third quarter on the 49ers in San Francisco and let it get away. I think they're even better this year. Jameson Williams has had an entire offseason. Jahmyr Gibbs, what they've done at the corner position. That's a stacked roster right there. And I would say Detroit is the biggest challenge.
I think Detroit's primed to take a slight step back this year. Maybe they'll probably still make the playoffs just because of their talent alone. And then in that division, though, you referenced it yesterday, Joe Shasky, just the Bears, they're going to be better. The Packers are already there. I have to see Jordan Love, but I'll give they have a very good roster. Josh Jacobs was a hell of an addition for them. Christian Watson, Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur, he's going to have a hell of a time with that offense, and the defense is no joke there. And then you got, we'll see what we have with Sam Darnold. I actually have a lot of respect for Kevin O'Connell, head coach out in Minnesota. Talking about Q ratings going up, that receiver doc with Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins prior to that, Kevin O'Connell, I would love for that guy to be my head coach any day of the week. That's just the way he communicates with his players. He's obviously comes from the McVay coaching tree, which is the Shanahan. He's one of those disciples, stuff like that. I don't think the Vikings are going to be as bad as a lot of people think they are, but again, that goes back to Sam Darnold. What do you think of him? He might win you some games. He might get an upset here or there. But the Detroit Lions, for you, are they the number one contender for the 49ers in hopes to getting to a Super Bowl?
Right now, they're in the number one spot, but I think by year's end, that's going to change. I think there's, like, it's one thing to be really good out of nowhere, and we saw this coming the year prior. Like, they were rolling. Now everybody knows you're there. Like, you're not sneaking up on anybody. That division is a lot better. I think the NFC as a whole has gotten better. You know, like, I look at Tampa Bay, I think they're improved. I think New Orleans is going to be more competitive this year than last year. I do.
It all comes back to Derek Carr, if he can be the guy or not.
But don't you think the Falcons as well are going to be a little more competitive this year as opposed to years past?
I'm interested. I don't know what they're doing between Penix and Kirk Cousins, but it's interesting. No, but they have talent. Yeah, right? Bijan Robinson, he's sick. I'm down on Kyle Pitts. I'm not drafting him. I refuse to draft him. Probably the one season I don't draft him, he's going to explode with Kirk Cousins or something like that. But I refuse to draft Kyle Pitts because I've just been burned twice in a row, Joe Shasky.
Then you got all the young quarterbacks that are, you know, we'll see. Kyler Murray, we'll see. Obviously, Geno Smith, but a new coach, right? So we'll see. Matt Stafford, I still believe, is a star, right? And so they're going to have to go through him and McVay. Jordan Love, we'll see. Like, I want to see more from him. Caleb Williams, we'll see. There's a lot of we'll sees out there.
Yes.
And then you've got, obviously, Jaden Daniels in Washington. We'll see. I think it's a very improved conference, though. I mean, if you look at it right now, the only team that I'm ready to just cross right off the list, no doubt about it, it's the New York Giants.
Yeah, they're going to stink.
Right?
Malik Nabers might be sweet, though, but yeah, the rest of the teams.
I just cross them off.
They're done. It feels like Daboll, Daniel Jones, they're going to clean house after this season, right? That's what it feels like, for me anyway.
Last year, I could have said the same about Washington, I think Atlanta, right? And going into the year, I'm not that those teams are world beaters now, but we'll see, right? Let's go. But I look at it this way. Eagles, they're going to be in the mix. Cowboys, they're going to be in the mix. Detroit, they're going to be in the mix. I believe the Green Bay Packers will be in the mix. The LA Rams will be in the mix. Those are 6-7 really good teams in the league when you throw the Niners in there.
I mean, we were talking about overrated, and underrated. Are we potentially overrating the AFC and underrating the NFC heading into the season? I think depth-wise, you just listed all the teams right there, like, there might be a little more depth when it comes to the quality in the NFC than the AFC right now. There's a lot of the Patriots are going to stink. We'll see with the Raiders. I think they might have a 5-6 win team left on. I don't feel great about it. The Antonio Pierce thing, I don't feel great. They have a lot of talent. That doesn't mean anything. Everyone's got talent. You got teams like Bo Nix with the Broncos. 6 wins, maybe? Like, there's some bad teams. The Chargers might not be great this year. Who are they throwing it to?
Like, well, one of those teams is going to have a, like, Chargers, Broncos. One of them is going to be out on the outside looking in at the playoff situation. Yeah. Like, I don't think both those teams are really good this year. One will be good. The other one won't.
Exactly.
If we're talking that division.
Yes. Well, and then the Raiders, that was them last year. So, like, they've been mediocre for the past 5 years. So, yeah, I'm actually kind of coming around on the NFC being considered underrated. I think we are overrating the AFC a little bit because you look at the AFC East, right? That's probably going to be like the biggest gauntlet, that in the North. When you look at Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Tua, and then they're all going to beat up on the Patriots, right? AFC North, you got the Browns, Deshaun Watson. You got, I'm just going to dismiss the Steelers. I know you're not supposed to because they always just find a way to just sneak. I just don't take them seriously.
I don't see them winning a playoff game.
No. So you got Joe Burrow there, and then you obviously got Lamar Jackson. So that's going to be very tough. But as far as, like, legit, like, I think you could win a Super Bowl. I'm going Jets. I'm going Bengals.
Baltimore.
I'm going Baltimore. I'm going Kansas City. Am I missing someone in that crop?
Bengals. Jets.
I know.
Can I see it?
Baldy convinced me yesterday.
Can I see it first? Okay. All right. I like that list.
Okay. Go in the NFC. Niners?
You don't put the Dolphins in there?
I don't trust Tua. Sorry. Sorry, Ken.
Even if they win the division and host games?
Don't care.
All right.
No, I'm not a Tua guy. He's not going to win a Super Bowl.
All right. That's your prerogative.
Yes.
I respect it.
So you got 49ers.
So these are the double-digit team wins. So this is the way I view it. If I said these teams win double digits, you wouldn't be surprised. Green Bay, Detroit.
I'm saying Super Bowl contenders. I know. You go there. Sure.
Because to me, to be a Super Bowl contender, you got to win double digits. Green Bay, Detroit. I think Tampa Bay. I think Rams, Niners, Eagles.
Okay. Yeah. So.
And well, then you've got your wild cards.
I mean.
What do the Bears do?
Exactly. So we just said it right there.
What do the Seahawks do?
I think the NFC, I think that might be the take, man. I think the NFC might be better than the AFC this year. The great equalizer, though, I get it. The Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
They're
Thanos.
They're Thanos. They're the Infinity Gauntlet. They are just in their own other world. You got to beat them. Everyone's got to beat them. They are circled. It is what it is. It's like Tom Brady forever with New England Patriots. Until they're gone, that's the team you have to worry about.
Well, the thing for me that I'm looking at is I look at quarterbacks in the NFC right now. Jalen Hurts. There's a lot of question marks on Jalen Hurts right now. I still believe in him. I think he's going to be a good player. I think he'll bounce back. I like Kellen Moore with him. I want to see what it looks like.
He was so good at that.
He was brilliant.
In
he was
that
the
Super
MVP.
Bowl, he was so... The one just fumbled snap, that was it. But God, that was the greatest game he's ever played in his career.
So he's very young.
Yes.
So if he turned it back around and was awesome, would you be surprised?
No.
All right, Jordan Love. If you told me he had a close to MVP-like season, I'd believe you. If you told me he kind of fell back down a little and it was a developmental year, I'd believe that too. Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff's going to be really good this year. How much better can Jared Goff get?
I think we've seen the best of Jared Goff.
I kind of agree with you, but I'm willing to be open-minded for it. But I kind of agree with you. Can Purdy replicate what he did last year? I think it's a big question mark for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be really good, but... let's say he only threw 25 touchdowns and he had closer to 16 interceptions. Would that really shock anyone?
No, but that's, I mean, his discernment is what makes him so special, too. And
sometimes things happen out of your control.
Yeah.
You get bad bounces, you know, or you just have bad games, you know. He also did, he had like a 5-interception game, for crying out loud. I mean, if I took that off the board, his numbers look almost even better. All right, Baker Mayfield, I think, is going to have a good year again this year. I don't like that division that much. I think he's going to be all right. But do you really fear Baker having this monster MVP-like season? Not really, right?
No.
Okay, Stafford. I think we're all like, hey, got to give him some respect. He's Super Bowl champion. Did it in the fourth quarter against the Niners. Did it in the fourth quarter in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl. Like, I worry about him on that one. And then Geno Smith, I just categorically dismiss.
Yeah.
Fair or not, that's just... That's what
Sam
I do.
Howell,
who am I missing?
Games.
Dak?
Dak. I don't know with Dak. CeeDee Lamb's their number one guy. Like, but is that enough? He's going to get like quadruple covered now.
So
they don't have a running back. They just signed Dalvin Cook, by the way. So.
So as I look into this year, I'm looking at Purdy and I'm like, really? He's got the least amount of question marks of a lot of guys in the NFC at quarterback. I kind of know what I got. He's got 30 starts under his belt. He's been in two different playoff runs.
Barring health, I would say, him and Stafford.
Stafford as well.
Yeah,
but I'm saying, like, it's a short list.
Yes,
there are a lot of guys with a lot of questions. We'll see with Jaden Daniels and Bryce Young and Caleb and all these other guys. But, like, I'm looking at Purdy, and, look, he could have a monster year. He could drop down a little. Is he going to implode? I just don't see it.
I don't see it either. And we're going to pick up this conversation because I want to pivot to the Giants here in just a second. We got Dave Fleming coming up in 10 minutes, voice of the San Francisco 49ers, Giants. I almost did that again. And he's our 95% of the game Giants insider. So Dave Fleming coming up in 9 minutes, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. The Giants got a win yesterday, a much needed win out in Milwaukee, 5-4 the final. Logan Webb didn't pitch great. Bo Mel probably should have pulled him earlier than he did, but he didn't. But you know what? You got production from Matt Chapman offensively. I saw you freaking out early on that game, though. Runners in scoring position still plagues the Giants.
Look, I mean, Chapman for me is a frustrating player. And the reason why I say that is the strikeouts drive me insane. That being said, I would give him a 3-year deal now, and I'd overpay for him. And the reason being is that he just fits the culture. And if you look at their pipeline, they have zero third base prospects. They have got nobody at third base in their pipeline. Matt Chapman, if you look at the numbers this year, he's going to have 35 doubles, approximately. He's going to hit 25 home runs. He's going to have about 85 RBIs. He's going to walk about 75 times. He's going to hit about 250. Yeah, he's probably going to strike out 165 times. No doubt about it. But since May, he's been by far and away the best defensive third baseman in the game, and his bat has come around. Does he strike out more than I want? It drives me crazy how much he strikes out. This team needs to sign Matt Chapman before he hits free agency. I know who his agent is. I know Boris isn't going to want to do that. I think you got to blow this guy away. I think he wants to be a Giant. To me, you gotta sign Matt Chapman, and I watch what he does every single day. When you have all these young guys like a Tyler Fitzgerald and an Elliot Ramos, they do need a legitimate veteran to show them the ropes of how to prepare day in, day out. Is he a superstar? No. Yeah. Is he a really good player that brings so much value on and off the field? Yes. And then what does it signify to the fan base? It signifies we're planting our flag down on a player who's in his prime, who wanted to be here.
Yeah.
It's got a David Lee vibe. David Lee went for the Warriors, had warts. He wasn't a perfect player. But at some point, you got to overpay a little, plant your flag down, and just ride out the next couple of years with him as one of your centerpiece players. Do I need a legitimate 3-4-5 hitter? Yeah, I'd like to have Chapman bat 6. I would. I would much rather have. But, man, you could do a lot worse than Matt Chapman. And, again, look at who's out there in free agency and look at their pipeline. They don't have a third baseman. Chapman's been really good this year.
I've always had a soft spot for Matt Chapman. I just think his demeanor, I just think he's a great dude. And he loves the Bay Area. You guys had him on, interviewed him at the start of the season, Joe Shasky, when he was on kind of his tear, I think it was, or maybe he was just going to get onto it. But you guys had him on, and he just waxed poetically how much he just loves the Bay. When he was in Oakland, whether he was living in San Francisco, like, he just loves being here, and he wants to stay here. I think that matters. The amount of crap that, like, we hear about during free agency period, oh, the city, oh, this, all this, like, it's refreshing to hear an actual player play for the team and say, I just like being here. I like the people, I like the culture, I like the food, and stuff like that. It was refreshing to hear that. And it was like, I want to reward players like that, and he should be rewarded. Again, is he a Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani?
No, he's not a perfect player. He is not those guys.
No. But that's okay. Can I get a Matt Chapman? Then can I get another Matt Chapman? And then maybe you start building a roster that's actually sexy and has names of people that actually know about. And Matt Chapman, whether you like him or not, he has a name.
He's a good ball player.
He's good.
Just don't overthink this. Like, I think people are like, oh, we are risk averse. You can't give this guy too much. It's okay. It's okay. Well, give him a 3 or 4
year deal. You're spending $200 million on a 500 team anyways. So, like, and this guy's one of your best players. So,
there's no doubt about it. He's one of your best players. It's him and Elliot Ramos and Tyler Fitzgerald right now. As of this year, you could do a lot worse than Matt Chapman. Is he a perfect player? No, he's far from that. But you got to plant the flag down somewhere. And this is a guy that fits. And everybody falls in line behind him. And his work ethic and the way he plays the game, the way he goes about it. Look, he's going to strike out with a guy at second with nobody else. And it's going to make you want to rip your hair out. And it drives you crazy. I like Matt Chapman. I think he likes being a Giant. I want him to stay on the Giants. I want it. Even if year 3 and year 4, I regret, I don't care. Just overpay for him and keep him here.
Dave Fleming coming up on the other side, 888-957-9570. Giants get the win over the Brew Crew. What does it mean? Well, they're still 5.5 back of the Atlanta Braves for that third wild card spot, but really it's kind of 6.5 back if you include the tiebreaker. So they got the Cubs right in front of them by percentage points, and they got the Mets still above them as well. Can they go on a run here? We'll ask Dave Fleming on the other side, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line, and that's going to be brought to you by Floor & Decor.
What up? This is Turtle Pie Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on the morning roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Yay!
Spadoni in for Bonte alongside Joe Shasky. Morning roast here. We're rolling on. Got hour and a half left here on the program. We're going to be joined by Dave Fleming here shortly. voice of your San Francisco 49ers. I keep doing 49. He's not the 49ers voice, Joe Shasky. Why do I keep doing that? Because we're talking Niners all day, that's why.
And you're underrating how awesome he is.
He probably could be great. Hey, I'm telling you, Dave Fleming, I know Al Michaels is getting up there. I toss Dave's name in there for the Thursday Night Football. I know Joe Davis is up there. We love Joe Davis. He's the young hotshot. Dave, man, I can watch him listen to college, pro, amateur. You could probably call your softball game and be hell of it. I don't think he wants to do that.
I don't think he wants to do that at all.
Yeah. Going from the Giants to that. And the Giants got a big win yesterday, obviously. And Dave is joining us here on the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And Dave, we bring you in here, Spadonian for Bonte, alongside Joe Shasky. And the Giants get the win, but it was kind of a somber one for me because you get the news right before that Robbie Ray and Jordan Hicks both going on the IL. Tough blow for that rotation, Dave.
It is, and you know, we all know they're sort of running out of time to make one last final push, and you figure to do that they probably need to be at full strength. But so it goes. I mean, that's why in a lot of ways you can't dig yourself this big of a hole because stuff happens. You know, it's a long, 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 grueling season, and guys are constantly getting hurt and coming back. And so the Giants, you know, it could be that the Giants just ended up being too far back to make that run when stuff like that happens. But I think, you know, we still get to watch the young guys pitch and play. And so for me, these last few weeks are providing, you know, not just an opportunity to stay in the race and watch some entertaining games. Last night was a very entertaining game, really good big league game, but also get some important development time experience for some of the guys you think are going to be a big part of it going forward.
Yeah, and I think, Dave, lost in the rage of like where they stand in the hierarchy of the National League, there have been good stories, and I don't want to be some homer or anything. Like, you know me, I get really salty with this team because I care so much. I know you care a lot. One guy that I feel like we're really underrating is Matt Chapman, and I don't know if you heard me in the last segment, but I went on this long soliloquy. I'm like, look, sometimes guys just fit organizations, and they just fit where you're at as a team, and I want to see this team give this guy a three-year deal. Now, I know, or at minimum, a three-year deal. I know who his agent is. I know there's going to be other teams bidding for his services. I don't care what it costs. You almost can't overpay in this situation. He is a great fit. I want Fitzgerald or whoever's on that infield to work with him every day. I want him to be that consummate professional for guys like Elliot Ramos, who's on the rise. Like, he's going to lead this team in hits. He's going to lead this team in doubles, maybe in home runs. Yeah, he might lead them in strikeouts as well, and runners left on base, and that's maddening at times. He's not a perfect player, but he's really good, and I feel like the last 3 months defensively at third, he's been outstanding. I want this team to plant their flag down and sign Matt Chapman. Am I wrong in feeling that way?
No, you're not wrong, and I think they will do it. I do. I think they agree with you. And you know what? I mean, I'm with you. I would like him to just do it. Just don't mess around. Don't, you know, I mean, I'm not saying don't negotiate. I'm not saying you're, as a GM or a team president, it's your responsibility to try to make the best deal possible so you can make other moves and have maneuverability. But if this is one where really, truly, I would like him just not to. Just don't mess around. Just whatever that number is to get it done. He wants to be here. Everybody around here wants to keep him. He is a good fit in the ballpark that we play in, where pitching and defense is going to have to be. I mean, I think that's obvious. The Giants have to build their franchise around those qualities. He's the best defensive player maybe I've seen in the last 20 years for the Giants. He's amazing.
Wow.
I think he's got an outside chance to finish his career and go to the Hall of Fame. I do. I mean, if you look at it, if you go by, you know, the Hall of Fame voters these days, they go often by WAR and some of those advanced sort of catch-all stats. He's getting close to 40 for his career. Like, Buster Posey's at 55 or something like that. You know, the threshold where people become more locks is like 60. Is it impossible that he could have three or four more years similar to the one he's having now? No. And I think at that point, he would be a pretty darn good Hall of Fame candidate, which I don't think anybody realizes that about how well this guy has played over a long period of time. Anyway, I agree with you. He's a good fit. He wants to be here. I think the team agrees with you, and I hope they get it done.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And wow, I got to let that other part marinate for a second. You're telling a lot of truths there. I'm looking at the two young guys, right? Like Tyler Fitzgerald and Elliot Ramos, and both in different ways kind of came out of nowhere this year. But I'm looking at both these guys, and we'll get to Bailey in a second. That's a different story, but we'll get to Bailey in a second. I'm loving what I'm seeing. Fitzgerald's raking lefties, and since the All-Star break, he's maintaining this pace that he's been on. Elliot Ramos, every time you think he's going to go into a little slump, boom, he hits one to right center with unbelievable force, or he's driving one into the gap. I love the way these youngsters have responded to the adjustments of the league adjusting to them, and they feel like legitimate players on this team moving forward, Dave, like pillars.
Yeah, and when you look at them and evaluate the down cycles, like when you watch them struggle, Tyler Fitzgerald, it's been a rough road trip for him mostly, but you have to do it in the context of what's going on around the whole game. Like, everybody is struggling other than a handful of superstar players. It's, you know, the offensive difficulties across the league are just extreme right now. And so when you watch guys who are going through it for the first time, all those things that you're talking about, learning, having to figure out how pitchers are attacking them, and it's really impressive what they've both done. Really impressive. And they have a lot of learning still to go. And part of that, you know, to me, a big part of it is not just the adjustments of like the one-on-one matchup with the pitcher, but also how do you handle 162? How do you handle the rigors of a full big league season where the competition level is so high and where you're out there day after day after day? You got to build up, you know, whatever metaphor you want to use, you got to build up that callus or scar tissue of going through it for the first time and maybe pushing through some true fatigue so that the next time around it feels a little easier. And that's what those guys are doing right now. And I'm with you. Look, both of them have some flaws as hitters. You know, both of them do have some weaknesses, but all but a handful of players in the history of the game do. And if you can accentuate your positives and stay away from your weaknesses and be a good all-around player like those two guys can be, you can be around for a long, long time.
Dave Fleming joining us here on the River Islands guest line. Spadoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky on the Morning Roast. And Dave, you know, whenever I just come in, I'm usually here at 5 in the morning, or actually I get here at 4:30 in the morning. I do the pregame show for an hour before handing it off to the Morning Roast, but Bonte's out this week. The first thing I do every day, I pull up the standings, right? Just pull it up, NL standings, where are we at the wild card? And it's just so maddening, and I just feel so frustrated if I'm a San Francisco Giants fan, because every single night, I swear to God, the Padres are winning in dramatic fashion. The Diamondbacks, I know they lost yesterday, but they're winning in dramatic fashion. Ketel Marte, oh, then there's Shohei Ohtani, 40-40, is he going to be 50-50? The gap just has never felt wider right now between the Giants and then those top three teams now in the NL West, which still all have a chance to win that division. It's just frustrating, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll put aside the Padres and the Diamondbacks, not because I don't think what they're doing is real. I do. Those teams are good, and they have a lot of young talent. But I think the frustration that you guys have talked about and that all Giants fans are feeling over not just this year but the last many years, so much of that is rooted on the Dodgers. And watching your rivals, the team you are desperate to beat year after year after year, play at such a high level. And that should be frustrating, and that should be – it should be infuriating for the Giants, and I hope it is internally. Like, that's the whole reason we're all here, is to try to compete against those guys. And for a decade now, it's not been a very fair fight. And that's, you know, that's not to say the Giants haven't had a lot of positive things this year and have made some progress in a lot of areas, but that gap does still feel wide, and they have to find a way to close that. The Dodgers have something really special going, and there are a lot of circumstances that all came together in some ways in a very fortuitous way to set this whole thing up for them, but it exists and it's real. And I do believe a lot of the angst that Giants fans feel is rooted in that. It's not just the Giants sort of fits and starts. It's the prime competition and how good they have been, just relentlessly good over the last many years.
Yeah. Patrick Bailey, it'd be one thing if I didn't see him go like stretches where he's raking, because he has multiple years now. He's had stretches where he's hitting and then he just falls off a cliff. Now, I know Buster historically, the numbers dipped in the second half, but not like this. And like, I guess it's one thing if he was like a 200 hitter the entire time, like, oh, maybe he just can't hit. You know what I mean? What has happened to Patrick the last couple of years in the final months of the season? And is this something that can be avoided in the future? Because I loved some of the things he brings to the table, but I can't unsee the last 2 months of the year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's something they and he has to figure out, has to, because it erodes a lot of what makes him one of the best young players in the league. These prolonged, because it's not just the slump. It's like, you know, 2 months of four total hits or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but it's really, really hard to be a contributor when your slumps are like that. So, they got to work hard to figure out what's going on. There's no easy answer. I will say this. I think this year, the encouraging part about this year for me is his defense has not tailed off. Last year, it was kind of like an all systems failure. His first year as a big leaguer, the body broke down and the defense, you know, he committed all those errors at the end of the year. He was throwing the ball away. It just kind of all fell apart for him. That has not been the case at all this year. His defense has stayed at an extremely high level. So that tells me the conditioning work and the physicality has paid off in that regard. I think the body has held up a lot better. He says it has. When you ask him, and I've asked him a bunch of times, he says he's feeling good. So what does that tell me? I think part of this is being a switch hitter. And that's not to say that he shouldn't be a switch hitter. That's always who he's been. But I think it becomes more difficult when you have the responsibilities of being a catcher and you have two swings to maintain and something gets out of whack. It's just hard to get it back on track. And that's just my own, Patrick hasn't told me that. Pat Burrell hasn't told me that. That's just my own sort of sense of it's just hard when you're a switch hitter. And I do wonder if limiting his exposure to left-handed pitching as much as possible, being a little more proactive in that would maybe help. Like, the left-handed swing is the pure natural swing. That's where he does most of his damage. And maybe going forward, trying hard to get him as many at-bats as possible against right-handers and limit the at-bats against lefties. Maybe that's, you know, something that can help avoid what's happened these last 2 years. I still have a lot of faith in Patrick. I think he's going to be really good for a long time.
Yeah, JT Snow famously stopped batting right-handed toward the end of his career and just went lefty, and that worked out for him, you know, decently. Grant McCray, last year they brought up Wade Meckler out of nowhere, and poor Wade, we haven't heard from him since. But Grant McCray, I mean, it's only 40 at-bats, but I really like what I see. Is there a spot for him moving forward if he can kind of just maintain what he's doing?
It's a good question, really good question. Just one quick note, Meckler's back on the radar. Meckler had horrible, horrible injury issues early this year and was not himself and was out and came back and had to go back on the injured list. And he's looking more like himself. That's not to say that he's going to be a starting big league player in the next few weeks, but Wade has done a nice job of salvaging his season. He's on the Giants radar again. So just keep that okay in the back of your mind. It may not be sort of like a lost cause with him. As far as Grant McCray goes, here's the thing about Grant. Like, he is going to swing and miss a lot. there are holes in his swing that has cropped up from A ball all the way up to the big leagues. So you're going to have to live with some of that. But he clearly has aptitude. Like, he's learning fast and he's getting better in a way as he climbs. You know, his numbers were better in AAA than they were in AA. And right now they're better in the big leagues than they were in AAA. It's kind of hard to believe that's going to hold, but that's a good sign of a guy who's like he's a baseball rat. He's an incredible natural athlete. I think to answer your question properly about like the long-term fit for him, he does have power. That's one thing. Like, you see that home run last night. Like, that's real power. That's not, he's got juice, but you don't look at him and think, well, that's a classic corner outfielder profile or something like that. So you got Jung-Hoo Lee, you have Elliot Ramos, you have Grant McCray. Like, can you offensively live with that outfield going into a season, sort of thinking our whole plan, our whole idea is we're going to have the best possible defensive team on the field and support our pitching staff that way and have as much athleticism as we can? Do you think you can, with that as your plan, get enough offense? I don't know the answer to that question, but if he keeps playing like this, it's going to be a lot harder for the Giants to ignore the possibility of that being the case next year. He is a talented young guy. The same things apply to him in a different package, but that we've been talking about with Fitzgerald and Ramos. Like, bet on the athleticism. Like, because he is extremely twitchy and fast and loose, and he's got great baseball instincts. We haven't even seen, Hunter and I were talking about it a little bit last night, we haven't really got a chance to see his arm yet. He's got a big-time throwing arm. He can do a lot of things on the field, a lot.
Dave, we appreciate the time as always, man. Best of luck on the call. Kyle Harrison, Freddie Peralta tonight. Should be a fun one.
Yeah.
Every start that Kyle and Birdsong make from here till the end is important for this franchise, every one of them. And it's not to say the bottom line results are important, but these two guys are going to be a big part of their future. And this is like a playoff kind of game for Kyle Harrison against a really good team in a live ballpark, a team that wants to use the running game, and Kyle struggled with that this year. Like, tonight's going to be a big challenge for him, and it's a great learning experience. And so however the game goes, like, I really look forward to these two guys taking the ball. I think these are big-time growth opportunities for both of them.
Just tell Kyle to watch the 2014 AL wildcard game and John Lester not throwing to first base and just say, don't do that, and you'll be fine. How about that?
Yeah,
still staying. I mean, sorry, Dave.
Yeah, no kidding.
Appreciate
See
the time,
buddy.
Andy. Have a good morning.
Happy Labor Day.
Okay, have a good weekend, guys.
Thank you.
You too.
Dave Fleming, he's the best. I love Dave. But I'm sorry.
What?
We got to just address the rat on the table that he just said. I mean, seriously? Two of them. Matt Chapman, Hall of Fame?
Well, he would need timeout.
No, not timeout. He's not going to make the Hall of Fame.
If you look at the numbers, the raw numbers, just hear me out. He would have to, just hear me out. He would have to basically play like he's played the first however many years for another 10 years.
If Matt Chapman is in the Hall of Fame and Barry Bonds and Pete Rose aren't, like,
what? Well, Scott Rowland, just timeout.
Destroy the whole building.
Scott Rowland, though, hit for a higher average.
Yes.
If you look at the power numbers, he's on pace. Scott Rowland only hit 300 home runs. I never thought Scott Rowland was a Hall of Famer, but he got in, right? Like, I'm not saying I agree with Dave. I hear you. You are right. Like, we're not even close to that conversation. But in terms of, like, guys that have gotten in that are head scratchers to me, Scott Rowland is at the top of the list. And if you look at just playing the game defensively, part of why Rowland is in there, oh, he's one of the great defensive third basemen of all time. And he hit for a better average, but I'm looking at doubles, home runs, hits, and RBIs. Chapman, quote unquote, is on pace for a Scott Rowland-like kind of output offensively.
I mean, if we're doing that, he's not even the best defensive third baseman of his era. It's Nolan Arenado. And he's better offensively.
I agree with you. I'm just to defend Dave. Like,
and
I love Dave.
I'm not crushing
it.
Scott
Rowland? I mean, I know he was younger.
No.
I didn't think Scott Rowland was a
Hall of
Famer.
That's not a household name in the Spadoni household.
No, I agree
Scott
with that.
Rowland. No, neither. And listen, it's just fun. Like, when he said that, and Ken got in my ear, he's like, you got to control your facial expressions better. I was like, when we were talking about that A's team that had Simeon,
mm-hmm.
Olsen, Murphy, Cannell was on that team, but those were like the big guys, right? Then you got all the way to Matt Chapman, and then that was the guy. There was a point where Matt Chapman was the highly touted one because he showed the power, mm-hmm. he had the glove, all that. But we found out like Olsen was probably the guy you would want because he had 50 home runs last. Like, he's the guy you would want. Simeon, consistent.
Look, this is the way I view the Hall of Fame.
And then Sean Murphy's kind of been disappointing, but they got Travis d'Arnaud in Atlanta. But that's neither here nor there. Chapman Hall of Fame.
He would need to replicate the production that he's had now and then some for a decade more at minimum. But I think the bigger overarching thing is like, so Scott Rowland, can you write the history of the game without Scott Rowland? Yes. He shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Like, it's pretty obvious to me. So, I don't know. You want to get mad at Dave?
I wasn't mad at him. It took me aback just thinking about it.
I think the majority of people agree with your point of view, and I agree with your point of view, which is like, he's nowhere near that. But I didn't think Scott Rowland deserved to be in the Hall
enough.
Of Fame. I think it's absolutely a joke that he's in the Hall of Fame.
It's fair enough.
I think it's like criminal.
Well, it's a joke when you got guys, again, like in this whole steroid era thing. It's just, it's all just dumb. I mean, everyone was doing it. Barry Bonds not being in the Hall of Fame and Scott Rowland Matt Chapman.
Here's the legit question that I'm going to have, though. Like, okay, in this era where guys don't qualify for wins, you're never going to get the benchmarks like you used to. Like, the benchmarks used to be 3,000 hits, 500 home runs, 300 batting average, right? X amount of gold gloves. For pitchers, it would be 300 wins.
Yes.
You're not going to get a guy with 300 wins. Like, so CC Sabathia at some point is going to come up for Hall of Fame discussion. And I think he's right on the border, right? I think he's, like, right on the border. Like, to me, Verlander's a Hall of Famer. To me, Kershaw's a Hall of Famer. You can't talk about baseball and write the history of the game without their inclusion over the last 40 or 50 years, right? And so those guys aren't going to meet certain criteria to get into the Hall of Fame that we had for 100 years. And I think we're going to have to adjust. Now, does that mean we adjust to the point where we're allowing match? No, right? That's too far of a bridge for me. That's much too far of a bridge for me.
Too far.
You know?
Great movie.
So, but you get where I'm going with this. Like, we are going to have to kind of taper off. And this is where I think Major League Baseball, if they shave off 25 games, 30 games off the schedule, I think by nature, you're going to like kind of change how you view these benchmarks for qualifications for the Hall of Fame in your own order. Like, right now, you're going to have a DH win the MVP. Shohei Ohtani is winning the MVP.
Yes.
That's uncharted territory.
Yeah, it is, but also, like, it doesn't... I don't know. I've been an AL fan my whole life, so the DH is like, okay, it is what it is.
Yeah,
like,
but David Ortiz is the first true DH to get into the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Like, Edgar Martinez was not allowed in. And Edgar, to me, Edgar was the gold standard at DH for a long time.
I am happy that when the Hall of Fame voting gets to our age in the millennials, we all start going up there. That's when you're going to start seeing a lot more changes. It's just going to be good.
No doubt.
It's going to be great.
Evolution of thought. Now, does it need to be the Basketball Hall of Fame where everyone gets in? No. But I think there's a happy medium.
The NFL does it the best, usually.
This is how I view it. It's very simple. Can you talk about the game with a bunch of people in a room without talking about that guy?
Yeah.
Right? That's how, like,
I mean, there's some guys like that, but I hear you.
For the most part, that's kind of how I view it, you know? Like, okay, you and I were talking about Patrick Willis in the break. Like, can you talk about linebacker play without talking about Patrick Willis?
No.
Right? You know? Right? He's got to be a Hall of Famer, you know, to me. And so, yeah, like, that's just how I break it down. And everyone's got their own little algorithms and whatnot. But, like, when Scott Rowland got in, I was like, give me a break.
I know.
Just give me a break.
All right. I just had to get into that. That was Dave Fleming.
Chipper Jones was the quintessential third baseman during that era.
Love Chipper. Great name.
Switch hitter.
Yes.
300 hitter. You know, I think 400 career home runs.
Ken's favorite player growing up, too.
Winner, gold glove defensive player. We watched his entire career. They won the division every single year and was the heart of that order and was one of the great players of that generation. Like, the gap between Chipper and Scott Rowland, for me, is just Grand Canyon-esque.
Yes. And the gap between Nolan Arenado and Matt Chapman for me. Not quite Grand Canyon, but it's a chasm, but maybe they'll both get in. Who knows? And they were teammates in high school, which is actually still crazy to me, which is amazing. Just two of the greatest defensive players of all time on the same high school team.
He brought up Grant McCray, and I don't know if you've been watching closely, but yes. Look, this is a name I'm going to throw at you, and you're going to be like, dude, he's nowhere near that guy. And he's not. Look, he's at 40 at-bats.
Yes.
I'm not tripping. I'm not like pretending he is this guy. But like corner outfielders who didn't hit for power in recent memory, there's a guy by the name of Carl Crawford who's always one of my favorite players. He's a speed guy, and he'd hit a lot of like line drives, a lot of gaps, multiple-time All-Star.
One of the worst contracts in Major League Baseball history.
He got hurt. Yeah. But he was a really, really, really good player until he got hurt. Perennial 300 hitter. I know we don't make a lot of those in the modern day. But Grant reminds me similarly of the skill set of someone like a Carl Crawford. He's not that player. No. He's nowhere near. Again, 40 at-bats. He's young. Let's see like a couple of seasons before we get there. But I've always thought that that play style in our ballpark would play really well. I always thought Carl Crawford was a guy, man, if he was in AT&T with the gaps and being able to roam left field, or maybe they throw him in right because he's got more running and the speed, that would really help an offense. I know you have Jung-Hoo Lee. I really like Grant McCray, and I want to see him get kind of like the next month of looks in center field. I think he's a fourth outfielder heading into next year. I'd like to see him prove that and like, hey, I'm a guy that needs to be on this roster next year.
I'm not mad at that. Carl Crawford, by the way, I'm just looking
back. He's a really good player.
He is. I'm just looking back.
Tampa Bay
Rays Carl Crawford.
Yeah, gives
amazing.
Gives me.
But now I'm just going to give you the 7-year, $142 million contract he signed. I was figuring out the number. It wasn't as high as I thought. At the time, it was massive. When the
traded
Red Sox
with Adrian Gonzalez in that huge Adrian Gonzalez deal.
I think that
deal.
Was the Bobby Valentin year. I want to say it was Valentin was that year, maybe the year after, but he was one of the Crawford years. Just an absolute dumpster fire. And then they bring in John Farrell the next year, and they win the World Series. He was on the Dodgers for 4 years. Just one of those guys where you do forget about just how good he was with a certain team, but he gets overshadowed because how awful he was for another major team like the Dodgers.
Yeah. How many stolen bases? Are you looking at his stats right now?
Right now.
Give them to me. I know he had 50 a couple years in a row.
480 total stolen bases in his career.
What was his high?
Let's see.
I bet he was close to 60. In an era where we didn't run as much.
All right. Pull up his baseball reference page right now. Yeah. Carl Crawford, stolen bases, highest 60. Yeah, 2009. And then he had a 59, 58, 55.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He was a force.
No big bags then either. Yep.
He was a force. Now again.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.